Hi, I'm TJ.
And I'm Dan.
And you're listening to Season 2, Episode 5 of Crossing the Thames.
This week, we discuss Spurs getting whomped in the cojones by Fat Drake.
The Arsenal win a nail-biting classic against the Welsh Giants from Cardiff.
And finally, we remember an American hero, the former Spurs legend, Clint Dempsey, quitting football to go fishing.
So, Dan, how was your weekend?
Well, it depends on what we're talking about. Today wasn't so wonderful, but we'll get to that later on. Yesterday, however, had a really cool day. Skipped out on your daughter's birthday party. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had a little family get-together. My daughter's birthday, second birthday is tomorrow, but we had the party on Saturday. Whole family together, except for Dan and Bastion, they just decided not to come. And yeah. You want to know what? I haven't missed a single one of your kids' birthdays this year. My wife has even missed your kids' birthdays. And
that's true. You haven't.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry.
Gold star for me.
But if you skip to go to an Arsenal game, I wouldn't hold it against you. So.
You guys got to go to a Spurs game?
We didn't. I would have loved that. But to me, you know, when it comes to MLS, which everybody who listens to this, all five of you know.
Sacker.
Actually, it might be six of you because we're getting a little bit better numbers here. But know that I'm an MLS fan, too, and I'm a big fan of the Seattle Sounders. So I actually went with a buddy of mine and his son, and I brought my son. And they're both, 5 and 6, so they're still young. And we took the train from Everett to Seattle to the stadium.
Sounds smart.
And kids love the train. That was actually probably more the highlight to them than the game.
Yeah, because traffic and parking is the worst part of going down there.
It is. Yeah, it's dealable, but yeah, I'd rather not. And it's like $7 round trip for the adult and the kids free. If I remember, I didn't actually pay for it. The guy I was going with paid for that for us. But I think that was what it was. So it was a pretty good deal. And yeah. Anyhow, so we went to the Sounders game, which was really cool because I think 5 years ago now, I was at the game where Clint Dempsey was actually unveiled or revealed. Whatever the word is,
unveiled,
on the pitch. It was, you know, he wasn't playing, but they basically showed everybody that they brought him in.
I have visions of like Ozzie Alonso coming over there and lifting the veil from over Dempsey's head,
giving him
like,
a kiss, like, full on kiss.
They're getting married. You know, he's being unveiled.
Yeah. So that was a beautiful moment. You know, and we brought him over from Spurs.
Beautiful moment in Major League Soccer.
Yeah. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not American, you're going to be like, well, why should I care? Well, from an American standpoint, Dempsey was arguably the greatest, inarguably top three American players of all time.
It's got to be better than Landon Donovan.
Well, that's where if you follow world soccer, world football, you will say, yes, he's better. If you're an American and you really just care about the Americans, then there's this whole debate on whether Donovan is better. But Donovan didn't
loses
have
some
a,
points for just being annoying.
Well, yeah, his voice. I mean, I think I hear mine's not so great either, though, so I'm not going to pick on him too much. But
yours isn't as bad as Donovan. I mean, we all kind of hate our own voices.
I want to play soccer for L.A.
Well, that's like, it's kind of my inspiration for soccer.
Yeah.
ISO.
But so this game, so I kind of bunny-trailed a bit there, but the relevance of this game was is Clint Dempsey has retired from both international and domestic football. And so this was the goodbye game. So prior to the game, they actually brought him out with his family.
Probably got a better offer from Amazon. They scalp everybody out here.
Actually, everybody's saying that he has some hidden shack in the woods by a lake because he's a big fisher. Like he loves to fish or fisherman or whatever. I don't fish.
Angler.
Yeah. Anyhow, so they're all saying that he's going to go and disappear from the world altogether and just fish for the rest of his life. I don't know.
Is he from Texas or something?
He had like 4 or 5 kids and his wife out there, so I doubt he's going to disappear that much. But yeah, he's from Nagadoches, Texas. I don't know. If you ever listen to him talk about, like, he'll say it all the time. But anyhow, it was a goodbye. They gave him a plaque with this autographed shirt from the team and some images, and I thought it was funny. I think only a Sounders fan would think this is funny because they kind of sneak in this And we bought him a 3-month getaway to Alaska to go fishing. They're announcing everything really professionally. And then when they hit that, and then the whole stadium starts laughing because it just kind of matches. And then they gave him the golden scarf, which the Sounders, they basically have a gold scarf that they give to people who have made a big difference in the organization. So Clint Dempsey is one of the few players who've actually gotten a golden scarf. But usually it's, you know, management and whatnot.
Has Freddie Youngberg got one?
No. No, we didn't like him, generally speaking. He was one of those. So in MLS, there's these European players that come over and are like, we're too good for you.
So they always
flop and we hate them. And Lundberg was one of those.
Lundberg was the Sounders Ozil.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't have to try that hard because I'm really
good. I think that's what it is. It's true. You know, like Wayne Rooney right now, everybody's loving him because he comes over and he's on a horrible team, except they've been doing well now that he's here. And he just works his butt off to do right by the team. And then you've got like Frank Lampard who comes over and he couldn't be bothered to move he got injured.
That's kind of his style.
And Gerrard was the same way when he came over. And
yeah, Gerrard was kind of past it by the time he got here. Frank Lampard probably passed by the time he got here. His style was maybe a little more like Pirlo's too.
Yeah. Oh, Pirlo's another one. He was one of those like, yes, he's older, but came straight from Juve. He shouldn't just fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah, but that's how he played for Juve too. He just kind of like sat at the back and just straight passes around. But
so the game was cool. And I have this in my Dan Goes American section that we'll talk about later. But just to bring it up, this was a MLS record.
You must have sneaked?
Snuck those
snuck,
in there?
Sneaked?
No, they're on page two.
I didn't see an American
you
section.
You didn't print page two.
Oh, okay. We have an American section?
Well, I did it last podcast, so I threw it in here for this one. I think that, because I always talk about American stuff, that I have to have a little section in there. This one's a bigger section just because the relevance of Clint Dempsey to the American soccer landscape was pretty huge. He's, you know, one of the players that has really changed as Americans are starting to embrace the sport more. He's one of the stars that have helped them.
Would
to embrace
you say
it.
That he's the reason you support Spurs?
No, I supported Spurs when he played for Fulham.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 2 years later when him and Dembele were brought over that I was like, oh, he came to Spurs. and then what was even better is that when he left Spurs, which he was never really an integral part of Spurs when he was there. But when he left Spurs, he came to the Sounders. I was like, man. And then, of course, DeAndre Yedlin, the other American I talk about all the time, he was a Sounders player and got bought by Spurs. But he was behind Walker and Trippier and finally went to Newcastle. But anyhow, that said, the game was historic because in the modern MLS era, the record was 7 wins in a row. Now, one thing, English football lovers are pretty proud of the relative parity in the English sport compared to other leagues. Like, you know, the German league, you got Bayern Munich and then maybe Dortmund, maybe Leverkusen, and then the rest all suck. And in La Liga, you've got, you know, 3 or 4 teams that are decent and the rest all suck.
Yeah.
Within MLS, it's even more so a parity, which is why one of the reasons why
everyone's bad.
Made fun of. Yeah, everyone's just equally bad. Is that there's all sorts of caps on spending. And so you still have teams that aren't great and you still have teams that typically perform well. But for example, Sounders were second from the bottom of the table until these last 10 games in which we have won, or last 11 games, I think we've won 9 and tied 2, wow. Which has brought us, we're now, I don't know where we are. We were in fourth place when that ended, or at least fourth place in the Western Conference.
So you guys are kind of like Crystal Palace last year?
Kind like, of like bottom of the league? Burnley.
Burnley?
Kind of, well, no, Burnley just overachieved all year. Anyhow.
So I'm getting at Crystal Palace started out, like they didn't score a goal in the first 7 or 8 games.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about
finally,
that.
Finally worked their way out of relegation.
Yeah, so 8 wins in a row. The previous record was 7, set by the team that we actually beat. It wasn't a very convincing. We weren't the best team. Both teams, I would say, had their moments, but we converted. And so it was 3-1. My son loved it. Every time we scored, I grabbed him and like thrust him up into the air, and he's like holding on for dear life, like I'm going to throw him off the... But
looked like you guys had some good seats too.
They were pretty good. You know, they weren't. They were over by the supporter sections, which are behind the goals opposite the Hawk's Nest, if you're familiar with the stadium, which is where I like to sit. A lot of people they prefer to sit like on the sidelines so they can kind of be in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
I like sitting over where people are raucous and jumping around and throwing stuff. So That's good seats, fun time. The Sounders won. They set a record. I got to see Dempsey come in. I got to see him leave, which this is the only Sounders game I've been to this year in person. I don't go to a lot of them. I'm definitely not a season ticket holder. I generally watch them on TV. So it was kind of fun to be able to say I was there for both sides of this equation.
Yeah.
So
I've probably asked you this before, and you've probably told me, and then I probably just zoned you out because we were playing FIFA at the same time. But why is Dempsey called the Deuce? Because that just sounds like the big turd to me.
Yeah, it does sound like, yeah, I got a lot of bad jokes. Well, so he wears the number 2 on his jersey. But I'm not sure which came first. I honestly don't know. We could probably go on Wikipedia.
So he sees himself as second best.
No, I don't think that's how it is. No. He's just worn number 2. I'm not sure. For the national team, I think he wears number 8, or did wear number 8. Mm. I could be wrong on that. But it is sad. So he leaves a joint top scorer for the USA national team.
He's joint with Donovan, right?
With Donovan, unfortunately.
That is very, like,
it's a horrible thing to leave on.
I don't know what to think about
that. But when we didn't make the World Cup, that pretty much sealed it, because he's old enough that they probably wouldn't have brought him back regardless.
Thanks, Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, seriously.
See what you've done now?
All I know, the only thing I know when it comes to soccer that's any good about Trinidad and Tobago is Shaka Hislop, who's on the ESPN FC show that I watch a lot. And he was a Newcastle defender and played
goalkeeper.
Goalkeeper, sorry.
But they are also kind of like defenders. They're like defenders that can use their hands.
That's right. I just said the wrong word. Anyhow,
as long as they're in the box, Dan.
He's from Trinidad. They can use their hands. So that's the only thing, like, in a positive note I know about that area. But
the other big player, actually a bigger player than him, is Dwight York, who played for Manchester United.
He was from Trinidad?
He's from Trinidad and Tobago. Right?
How does Trinidad have two, like, world-class, and the Americans have such a hard time
crazy. Getting... I don't know that Shaka was world-class.
He broke the transfer record for goalkeepers back in his day.
I remember watching him. He wasn't that good. He was like on par with David James, if you're familiar with him.
I am. So, yeah. So, and then he also leaves his joint, Dempsey leaves his joint top scorer for the Sounders with Freddie Montero, which I really like Montero.
That's surprising because he wasn't even
with
the Sounders
that
long, was he?
Dempsey?
Yeah.
5 years.
Oh, is it 5 years?
Yeah.
Man,
or four,
only a couple of years
4 years, 4 or 5 years, something like that. He's been with us for a while. I mean, don't you remember there was 2 years with
like
him?
The last
and
2 years since we've had this kid, the last 2 years has just like
gone by.
Like, I don't even know. Like, to me, it's still 2016.
Well, the best, the most fun I've ever had watching Sounders games was when him and Obafemi Martins were together up top. And they just, it was like watching street soccer with two guys and then like regimented soccer with the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Because whenever they got the ball, it was.
Were they your Aubameyang and Lacazette?
No, they were a lot better. Even playing for the Sounders.
Okay.
Anyhow, so that's probably enough American fun for the intro. But, you know, Clint Dempsey, I'm going to miss watching you. I know you don't care and you'll never listen to this, but I enjoyed him. Enjoyed him for Spurs. I have an autographed Spurs jersey when he was on Spurs. Also has Gareth Bale's signature on there, too.
Who's he?
Yeah, who's he? The guy who's like ripping it up for Madrid now.
Wasn't
that
he like
Cristiano
your left
Ronaldo's
back
gone.
Or something?
Yeah. Now he's like full on striker. Now, yeah. I think he's playing right wing now.
He kind of played right wing for you guys right before he left, though.
No, he was a. Well, he may have, but he was mostly a left winger.
Yeah, I remember
he moved
him
up
being
the left side.
I remember right before he left you guys, the last derby that you guys played with him, where he, I think he got 2 goals against it, was like 2-1. I think he was playing off the right because I remember him cutting across and killing us. That's what stands
that's
out.
That's what he does. He's kind of like Robin in that regard, you know? He cuts back, you know what he's going to do, but you can't stop
him. You can't keep up with him.
Yeah.
So now that we've talked all about your weekend, my weekend.
Yeah, tell me.
Sophie's second birthday, it was a Minnie Mouse-themed birthday party.
Nice.
You really missed out because it was Minnie Mouse.
No, we have all these Minnie Mouse-themed things at the house now.
Oh.
Grab bags.
Did they give you a little grab bag?
These cool little, like, so you know the viewfinders, those red things you put up and you click and they'd have the rotating round piece? Well, they got you gave the kids
camera.
These little cameras, and
so it's funny. Sophie gets all these toys for her birthday, and she's been running around all weekend with just this little camera.
Okay,
in the grab bag, going.
You know what? There's something magical about those. Like even as an adult, you're kind of like, these are kind of cool. But kids, they don't even understand what's going on.
And then you ask her, I'm like, hey, can I see the pictures you took? And she goes, now, runs away. I'm like, oh, okay.
She knows you're full of it.
She does.
Dad, I didn't take pictures. They're built in.
Anyway, you missed out on a Minnie Mouse birthday party. So,
you know, I had another birthday party like a month ago that I missed out on. One of my friend's daughters, and it was princess themed. And I'm like,
you could have shown up in some princess garb and like done the whole
thing. I'm cool with that, but I'm thinking there's going to be no guys here, and I don't want to be the one element of testosterone in a girly party. Turned out like a bunch of my buddies were there, and they like text me like, miss you. And it's like, well, I heard it was princess themed.
You were like, yeah, you losers. You went to a little girl's birthday party.
Yeah, seriously.
Should have just texted back, boys rule, girls rule.
I've got a lot of girls in my house.
Yeah, you
it's
are.
Just, it's just me, huh? And my son. Yeah. We've even got a female dog. Like,
see, I've got even because we have
three daughters, have a wife, and a dog.
We have a male dog.
Yeah.
So it's me and Joey against Sophie and Des.
I don't know how much the dog actually evens it out, but
he doesn't.
I don't think people care about this anymore. Should we talk about soccer?
Well, this is what I tried talking about in the last podcast. No one cares about any of this stuff, but you insist talking about our personal life. So,
well, we started off with some Clint Dempsey fun. And Clint Dempsey, by the way, in FIFA 18 and FIFA 17 and FIFA 16. Was 16? Yeah, I think 16 was after Oba. Yeah, yeah. He's been my leading scorer, like, across the game. You know, they keep track of...
You must be really good at that game.
In season mode. Well, I've always been pretty good with the Sounders until this version. This version, the skill, actually, they really dropped it. Like, you and I were playing the other day, and...
Yeah, what did I beat you? You had the Sounders, and I was Arsenal. I barely... Or was it, did we draw?
That's no, no, you beat me on the away leg 1-0, and then we tied 2-2 at the Emirates.
So then...
So you beat me by one goal.
Okay.
Also an away goal, so you would I would have had to have scored two to... No. Okay. No, I had more away goals. You beat me by one goal, but if I had scored one, I would have beat you.
On the away goals, okay.
But that said, normally when I play you with the Sounders on the previous versions, I'm practiced with them a lot, and they're better counterattacking style, and I can beat you. This time it was, I was like breaking a sweat. I was trying my hardest to beat you, and I just couldn't. So
it is kind of cool, though, in FIFA, how the CenturyLink, where the Sounders play, like, it's so realistic.
It is, yeah.
In FIFA, it's kind of like, hey, I've been there.
Well, and having not been overseas, I imagine all the other stadiums are also, but yeah, being that I go to CenturyLink and I'm seeing, like, you know, elements that the supporters put up, you know, in the game, and the chants, I love that. The new version, they've actually got like 3 or 4 of the Sounders chants. Actually, you can hear them.
Wow.
You know, Seattle Sounders.
That's like whenever when I play FIFA, if I play against Liverpool, they always do the, you know, you'll never walk alone song, yeah, or whatever. And I always try to score before they finish the song because this is the beginning of the game. It's like, it's what I live for.
Or like if you play at the Bernabeu and they do that, la, la, la. Anytime they score a goal, anytime Madrid scores a goal, they play that, like, oh, really? Melodic. Yeah. Huh. I play in the career mode where I made myself a striker and eventually got bought by Madrid because I played an easy level. They every time I'd score, they would play that little, like, you know, melodic tone, and yeah. So Arsenal played Cardiff today. Talk us through it, TJ.
So yeah, I think I had the prediction. What was it? 3-1 is what I said. So it actually ended up being 3-2.
No, I think we both had 3-0.
Oh, did we have 3?
The 3-1 was the Tottenham game, which we'll talk about later.
So we conceded another 2 goals. But thankfully we had Aubameyang and Lacazette starting from the beginning together, which was really exciting to see. Ramsey looked great, playing kind of in more of a number 10 role, and Ozil was shunted out to the right again. And he even looked a little bit better. I guess he kind of got over his tickle he had in his throat and actually made it to this game. Arsenal scored 3 really great goals. I think actually the scoreline kind of flattered Cardiff a little bit. Just because we dominated possession, and honestly, I mean, the second goal, it was a good goal, but the first goal, it was kind of like, I mean, he did well to stay composed and score it, whoever, I don't even know who it was, Welsh guy, but, yeah, like, he didn't know anything about it until it was like, oh, there's the ball, and then he just, like, a swing and a miss, he just swung, he just booted it, and it got in, you know, I think Cardiff were kind of lucky to even get what they got out of the game. Having said that, it's still kind of depressing to see Arsenal concede
two more goals
against, you know, arguably, you know, one of the bottom teams here. I mean, there's a good chance they're not going to stay up, you know. talent wise, it's just not there. And I think the other thing that really kind of stands out to me, and I think it was Kyle Martino might have mentioned this, either him or Robbie Earl, is it's probably going to take at least a year and a couple of transfer windows to really get this team right. And it's one of those things where you can still see them, like they're trying to play the way Emery wants, which is kind of more pressing and more running. And I actually saw a stat that shows that we are, through the first four games of the season, we are number one in distance ran and total sprints. Which is really interesting. You would have never
thought. You guys have a pretty athletic team. I mean, both your strikers are runners. Well, Bellerin's a runner. I don't know how much
Monreal gets up there. So
he's your top scorer.
It's not like he's hopping on a golf cart and getting driven up the field. He's doing something to get up there, and he scores.
Is Mertesacker still on the roster technically?
No, he's now the head of the academy, I think.
Huh.
Yeah.
I knew they were keeping around for some reason, but it was just funny that he was like on the roster last year.
Yeah, I mean, he had his moments, but yeah, I kind of wish that we had replaced him last year. I think it would have helped us a lot, but yeah, I think it's funny when you're watching the team, it looks like their DNA is it's a Wenger team, and they want to, there's this tendency in attack to slow it down and try to play link up play. And sometimes that works. And I'm not saying we should throw that out, but it's just so polar opposite that on, you know, when we don't have the ball, you know, and you're chasing to try and win possession back, it's high intensity, lots of running, with the exception of Ozil. He'll run, but he doesn't press the way that, say, Ramsey does. And it's, you can just tell they seem conflicted. Like, they're not 100% sure what they're supposed to do. No. And it is just frustrating when you're attacking how slow they end up slowing the game down, looking for these different passes. And it is the likes of Ozil and Xhaka that kind of create that.
Yeah. And Ramsey to an extent, and until Ramsey sees goal and wants it, he slows it down a bit too.
Yeah, and I think I think there's a time and a place for that, right? Where you're looking for the right pass. But I just wish that they'd pick up the tempo a little bit. And I think maybe, you know, Torreira, it seemed like when they brought him in the second half, again, he didn't start, right? Which is probably shocking to you that
Guendouzi gets the start again. Well, Guendouzi was fine. Actually, he played well in this game. I didn't have a whole lot to pick apart. I mean, he still made a few mistakes, and he's 19. But why would you start him and Xhaka over Torreira? Like,
well, and that was my thing.
One of those guys should sit for him.
Torreira and Guendouzi to start. But then before the game, I started thinking about it a little bit more. I thought, you know, Cardiff's probably just going to sit back, and we probably do need Xhaka in there to try and open up their defense a little bit with passing. But when you're watching, Xhaka didn't do terrible. I mean, a few misplaced passes, but him and Ozil specifically, who are probably the two best passers on the team, they really slow the team play way down. Yeah. Like, just, it's painful sometimes.
You guys need an Eriksen-esque or De Bruyne-esque, you know, not to make it so Spursy, but you need an attacking midfielder that also is a pass sprayer. And
I feel like Mkhitaryan has got a great passing range, and he doesn't slow it down the way that Ozil
and Xhaka. You're right about that, yeah.
But I don't know that he feels more like a, He seems like he has all the tools to play as a cam, but we're not really playing with a cam. I mean, you can argue Ramsey's kind of playing like a cam.
You're playing him kind of as a winger in a sense, right?
But Mkhitaryan typically plays on the wing. So, and I think we need him on the wing, honestly. You know, because like Cardiff, the one thing that they did do is they got down our right side way too easy. And I think that's largely because of Ozil. And then, you know, in the second half, when we really kind of turned it on, we started to basically go for it to win the game. A lot of it came through Ozil, and he was dropping into the middle, which almost kind of made it look more like a 4-4-2 diamond, and that basically Bellerin's off by himself on the right, which is kind of funny because you have Aubameyang on the left, who's supposed to help Monreal, and I felt like Aubameyang did more defending than Ozil did.
Everybody usually does more defending, except for that one Tottenham game where he like tracked back to the back line.
He did a few times, but I don't know. You feel like he athletically has it. He could just try harder. But he will stay with a guy, but he doesn't like harry him or press him or like just kick him or, you know, like do something that's going to put pressure on your guy other than just kind of stay with him, you know? But maybe we've been talking about, you and I have talked about this for years. It's probably not going to change at this point. You
know? No, I think
he is who he is.
He is who he is. So I got to be honest. As you know, I watched the first half of the game. I played hooky from church today, which I'm okay with once in a while.
Daniel, really?
Well, the Spurs game started at 8, and I had to watch the Spurs game, unfortunately. And I actually paid $50 for the NBC Sports Gold membership, which I want a refund on after this game. But we'll get there.
So your wife and kids were in church just praying.
And I'm spending money.
Please let Spurs win so Daddy's not angry when we get home.
And Daddy was angry when they got home. No. Okay. We'll get to the Spurs game here.
But we haven't had this in a long time. I just want to say, maybe in the history of the Crossing the Thames.
Where it was a reverse. No, I'm sure this
Have we ever once. Had a Crossing the Thames episode where Arsenal won and Spurs lost?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Especially against crappy opponents.
I'm sure.
No offense to Watford, but, you know.
Well, Watford's at the top of the... They're only, like, 2 points off the top of the Premier League right now. Or two goals. Like, Liverpool's beating
they're
them
still
by
crappy.
Two goals.
I mean, I know they've had a good start to the season, but, I mean, they've got cojones.
That's what everybody said about Leicester, and Leicester made it, you know. I'm not saying that Watford's is going to pull off that, but I'm just saying, don't get too crazy with your... And I think... And we'll get to that with the Spurs game, but I think...
I'm
going to
blow your
problem.
Mind with a prediction right now. I predict that Arsenal will be above Watford. I could see it being like a ninth, tenth type of situation. Yeah.
You don't think you're going to be battling them for relegation at the end of the year?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. So anyhow, I only watched the first half of the game. I caught the first two goals either way. The first goal for Cardiff was scored like 30 seconds before the end of the half.
Which was very disappointing to give up. I mean, it was painful to watch.
Yeah, I can see
that.
We just
dominated that half.
Well, and it was... So I will say that I thought the shot was filled with skill. The fact that the ball landed to him where it did was filled with luck. And I think that was the... Yeah. You know, I don't know who the guy is. We could go look him up, but I don't know him. All I know is that
he's the kind of guy we'd look up and we'd never remember him.
Anymore. Right. Yeah. Well, but all I know is his shot had to clear two defenders sliding in and check who was getting down, and he had to sky it without going over he had to roof it basically without skying it over the net. So, I did watch the highlights while we were prepping here though. And the second goal from Cardiff, you know, so here's what I'll say. As an Arsenal fan, you can take heart in this. Cardiff really had far less opportunity than you guys did. They literally put away maybe two of their three opportunities.
Yeah.
Arsenal, on the other hand, in the first half that I watched, could have been up 6-0. I mean, Ramsey had one or two shots that just barely missed. Aubameyang had a couple.
One off the post, too.
Yeah, Lacazette had one off the post. So, not having watched the entirety of the second half, Arsenal could have put this game to bed in the first half easy. Hmm. So that's kind of a negative, but the positive is that you guys were creating all these chances. And I agree with what you were saying, Kyle Martino, whoever it was, said. I think, and you look at a lot of teams historically who give their managers time, who don't just sack them. Liverpool's a great example. I would say Spurs as well with Poch, but... You know, the first year with Klopp in Liverpool was kind of rocky. He was basically flying through with his charisma that everybody.
Yeah, I don't know that Liverpool ever complained about having Klopp. I think they were just thankful they had him, no matter how poor he was.
Right. That was the thing. He was flying through with his charisma. But then the next year things started shipping up, and then last year was really good. So I think that you guys are gonna, you know, potentially be in that same situation. You have enough talent on the team that I could see with more time with Emery. You know, assuming he's as good a manager.
I mean, you think when
hope.
Ozil came in to Arsenal, what was it, 2013 or 2014? One of those 2 years. Back in those days, like Spurs.
Back in those days.
Yeah. Like Spurs were Europa League. Liverpool sometimes weren't even in Europa League. Like, that's kind of the difference between now and then.
Well, that was the thing. As soon as you guys brought in Ozil, we started getting Champions League. You guys started getting Europa League.
No,
maybe there's something there.
We were in the Champions League for like the next 3 years after we had Ozil. It wasn't until like these last 2 years that we started having issues. So to me, it's kind of like the whole league. I think we've gotten a little bit worse. We've gone down a little bit. Not a lot. A little bit. But everyone else has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think what's being proven out is that the manager is a much bigger deal than a lot of people want to give credit for. I mean, you see a massively amazing City team, but they weren't an awful team before Pep showed up. They had a lot of talent before Pep showed up.
Yeah.
He basically came and brought in some backs.
I think it depends on the scenario. I think Pep is kind of his own thing.
Well, I think Poch is that way. I think Klopp has done that with Liverpool. I mean, Salah was kind of a failure with Chelsea, right? He failed with Chelsea. A lot of people fail with Chelsea and do better afterward. But He was a failure last time he was in the EPL, and then Klopp brings him over from Roma, and all of a sudden, Salah's like, you know, the amazing out of nowhere.
I don't know that Klopp owns all of that, though, because he was kind of Roma's best player when he was
But the point is I think what we're seeing are these teams who were struggling. Liverpool was, I mean, by their standards, they were struggling. You know, Brendan Rodgers almost brought him a title, and they hated him still. But, you know, a lot of these teams are kind of struggling, and then they get the right manager. Versus, as kind of a antithesis to what I'm saying, you look at Mourinho and the fact that he is basically, he's an accomplished manager. I'm not talking about his past. I'm talking about right now. He's proving that he kind of is the suck as far as a manager is concerned. He's throwing players under the bus. He's at odds with Woodward.
I can't stand Mourinho, honestly. He drives
But see what's happening. You look at
Manchester. I can't even argue with you.
You look at Manchester United, and they look, they'll win because they've got talent, but they look to be a mess. You look at Chelsea, you expect it to be a mess, but then when they put Sarri in there, Sarri seems to be putting things together, and Chelsea's looking good. Maybe this
is disrespectful to Sarri, but I honestly don't know that Chelsea team is that much better than they were last year. And I think you could put Ancelotti in there. You could put any of the previous Chelsea managers, the 20 Chelsea managers they've had in the last 20 years, whoever they are, put them in there, and they probably have the same results this year. I mean, it's... I don't know.
I think
it depends on the scenario.
Well, Pep is an outlier. You've also got Hazard. Hazard is a good judge as to how much the team actually likes the manager.
Yeah, I think maybe we
because
could
he's
say
either good if the manager's good.
In the case of Mourinho with Chelsea, Mourinho with United, and Conte with Chelsea, it's just don't piss your players off.
Yeah,
that's almost all it is.
That's a good part. But I mean, even Poch is known to piss off players. He isolates players. Ew. No, look at Walker before he left. Danny Rose. Toby Alderweireld, they were like locked out of the team.
Now Alderweireld was injured. Danny Rose was injured.
No. Alderweireld was locked out. He was healthy for a long time and couldn't get Sanchez out of his way. And he would even play a back three with Dyer rather than put Alderweireld in. So no, he locked Alderweireld out because of the demands to leave. No. I mean, he was injured for a while, but he was healthy by the end of the year, but he wasn't playing. Rose, you know, it's debatable. He may not have been completely back to form. He still doesn't look 100%.
I also read that he had some like issues with depression or something. And
Danny Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that might be part of it too. I don't know that so much of that is like the manager's like.
But Poch is notorious for this. Like if you read his book, which I haven't read, so I'm quoting from other things that I've read, but in his book he talks about how he locks players out for crossing. That was one of the big the fact that Lloris got to start the last game
was surprising
because
then he didn't start this last game for you guys.
He didn't. No, Vorm did. Anyhow, sorry, we're pulling off on Tottenham here. We're still kind of on the but that said, I do think that if Emery proves to be a good man manager, I think that Arsenal have the talent to compete up at the top. I don't think you guys as a team are that much worse than any of the other top teams. I think. Sorry, let me rephrase that. As individuals on the team, you have enough talent to compete at the top. As a team, you have yet to put it completely together to be considered.
I think there's definitely some positives that I wasn't expecting with the team. Guendouzi is one we've talked about at length. Just kind of the general fight of the team and how well that they have kind of embraced the style that Emery wants in terms of the pressing and, you know, basically working harder.
Yeah.
But I still think that there
are holes in the defense. You guys need your Virgil van Dijk.
Well, and your defense isn't. To me, the defense didn't look bad today, even though we conceded two goals.
Yeah, I mean, and Mustafi got one of your goals, so from an attacking perspective,
and honestly, for a split second there, he kind of looked like Olivier Giroud. It just made me a little sad.
It was a meaty German forehead, not a meaty French forehead.
Honestly, yeah. This is something that I've stood out. I mean, we've talked about Arsenal for a bit, but the last two or three games, pretty much every single game of this season. Every time I watch the game, I just can't help but think, why did we get rid of Giroud?
I think I agree with that.
And why did we get rid of Walcott? Like, I know that that's probably very unpopular, but we lack pace on the wings to the extent we're throwing Aubameyang on the wing because we've got no pace on the wings. So, I don't know. It hurts every time I see him play.
My thing
with
Giroud, yeah, I think it's awkward seeing him on Chelsea, too. My two worst teams in the EPL, right? Arsenal and Chelsea being much worse in my opinion, but
both have Giroud.
They both have had Giroud, and I actually kind of like Giroud. The thing is, though, Giroud is a striker who would want to start for the most part, and he's at least competing with Morata for starting. He's not behind him by any means. As a matter of fact, I I think he started.
Whereas if he was still Arsenal, he'd be behind Aubameyang.
He would be behind Lacazette and Aubameyang, and he would only be called in for, like, if you guys needed a last minute goal from a corner kick or a free set piece.
That's what we need him for.
Well, yes.
That's what he gets paid
for.
But
I don't know that he would be happy in that situation, right?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I get why why it's good for him, but I don't know. It just makes me sad. I miss him.
Yeah.
Almost every single game, I think.
I can get that. So, what was your key takeaway from that game? Any?
Really, the main one is just that the team, especially today, it really seemed like it was in transition. And I think maybe that's largely tied up in how Ozil and Xhaka played, in that a lot of the good moves that came from our team came from both of them. But they're also part of the problem, in that we were, you know, it just seemed like the tempo would drop a lot of times once they would get on the ball. And, you know, Ramsey, I think, is really embodies the future and the way moving forward. You know, and I get that sometimes when he's on the ball, he might slow it down. And I'm not against slowing down the play to make sure you're making the right pass, but sometimes it's almost like you'd have, you know, maybe 7 or 8 good passes, and the tempo's starting to pick up, and you're like, okay, I think we're going to make some of this. And then either Xhaka or Ozil will get it, and there's nothing going on, or maybe the point would be to try and go by your man or make the killer pass, and next thing we know, Mustafi has the ball, and then it drops, you know. So that's kind of the thing that jumps out at me. Was
how old is Ramsey at this point? Isn't he like 27 or something?
Yeah, he's 26 or 27.
Kind of rough to call somebody. I mean, he's not old by any means. He's just coming
into his prime, really.
But it's kind of hard to call him the future. I would say he's what the present should look like.
I mean, is he any older than Eriksen?
Erickson, I think Erickson's 25, 26. But yeah, the point I'm making is I wouldn't call him. I would say Guendouzi would be the future. I think right now when a player's in his prime, you should be looking at him as what the present should look like.
Yeah, Erickson's 26. He'll be 27 in February.
Yeah. So I wouldn't call Erickson the future. I would call Dele Alli the future. But of course, we're expecting him.
I don't know. When I say future, it's more about his style of play,
sure,
and how Arsenal. You know, it seems like the footballing world has changed, and Ramsey is more valuable because of how hard he's working.
Yeah,
and how important I think that is for how Arsenal are playing now. That honestly, Ramsey is more important to the team than Ozil. And I think Emery's made some good decisions with using Ramsey in that role, and I'd like to see it continue. It's kind of my point.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's move on to the Spurs game we keep touching on. I woke up this morning. I knew the game was at 8. I flip on my YouTube TV sponsorship, insert sponsorship. I flip on YouTube TV, go to find the game, and all that's on is the United game and then the recording of the Arsenal game from earlier, which I wasn't up for. So I knew what that meant. I knew it was going to happen this year. I had to eventually break down and buy NBC Sports Gold. Last year I didn't, and I regretted it. I missed like 4 or 5 different Spurs games. So the game, like, I get all these. I have like 4 different apps on my phone that, like, Spurs versus Watford is starting. Bing, bing, bing. I get all these notifications. I'm like freaking out. So
yeah.
I go and I quickly buy my NBC Sports subscription. If my wife is listening to this after, sorry, honey, I forgot to tell you. But she was at church.
So.
Yeah, she was at church. I was spending money while you were at church. So anyhow, get it going. I'm watching the game. And so there's a whole lot to talk about from this if I really want to, but I'm going to try to distill it, not be so crazy about it. The biggest positive to me was Dele Alli looked amazing in this game. He was fighting. He was everywhere. I saw him make defensive plays, which isn't really his bag. He was pushing up. He was like, Dele Alli looked like he wanted this. And oftentimes, and I think it's because of his youth, he doesn't exude the desire in every game. Sometimes it looks like he just kind of feels entitled and he's still good, so it's worth it. But
yeah,
this game, he looked like he wanted it. Eriksen, I don't know what's going on with this guy. I love him. He's still my favorite player.
World Cup hangover, man.
It must be. He gave the ball away so much, and he was fighting, but like futilely. Alli was actually making things happen. And then, of course, Lucas, I don't know. I can't say any other good things about this guy. He's amazing. I mean, I can say. There's no new things to say about him. He's so fast. He's fights so hard. I watched him. He was up against one of the defenders for Watford. And the defender had, you know, like he was like half the height of the defender. And he jumped up, towered over the defender to head the ball.
It's kind of like having Aaron Lennon back.
Yeah, with skill. With more skill. I actually liked Aaron Lennon.
I just want to remind you that you used to say that you thought Aaron Lennon was better than Theo Walcott.
Yeah, I did.
Do you still
think? I don't remember saying that to you, but I would agree with that.
Think he's better than
Theo? No, at this point, I don't know. I haven't followed Lennon at all. Is he still playing?
Yeah, he plays for Burnley now.
Oh, okay. I knew he went through some mental health issues
I don't know what it is. When you play for Spurs, they're so depressing.
Hey now, let's not. That's a touchy subject. I don't want to go there. But maybe yeah.
Something in the food.
It's the Spursiness. It's the general Spursiness.
Yeah, they just get Spursy.
Yeah, I actually really liked Aaron Lennon. The guy that you liked on Spurs that I wasn't a big fan of was Andres Townsend. And he had his best season with Spurs, and right after his best season, we let him go, and he hasn't really seemed to recover from that.
He's one of Crystal Palace's better players.
Debatable. He was really selfish. I think that's what I didn't like about him. I would say Zaha is...
Well, of course, but they don't really play the same position.
By like a huge margin better. Well, they do. They play on opposite wings.
You haven't seen Crystal Palace for a while. Zaha's playing up front.
Like, is he playing as a striker?
He's their leading man now, yeah. Oh. It's like they almost play like 4-4-2 with him and Benteke, but it's really just all
Zaha. Yeah, I admit I haven't watched Crystal Palace.
I mean, I can't really name another right-sided midfielder that would challenge Andros Townsend in Crystal Palace's team.
Well, okay, on Crystal Palace's team, but that says a whole lot in and of.
I don't know that Lennon is better than Townsend. I'd say Townsend's better. But Theo Walcott's
well, he's younger. He's, you know, I mean, Townsend's probably getting into the prime years now, but he's quite a bit younger than Lennon, right? Like 4 or 5 years younger.
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with...
I'm not either, so we can move on from that. But that said, from the positive, those are my positives. Ali looked good. Lucas looked good. Yeah, it was really those two that really had me going, wow, these guys look like they really want this. Negative... There's a lot of negatives I could talk about. Whenever your team loses, of course, everything looks more negative than it actually probably is. But I came to this realization during the game. I didn't even mention this to you because I wanted to save it for the podcast to kind of throw this at you. I think Harry Kane has been in a slump for about a half a year. Ever since he got injured and he came back.
Harry Kane rushed back from injury too, didn't he?
He did. Harry Kane, in my opinion, is one of the few players in the world who can win a World Cup Golden Boot, who can continue to score goals while being in a slump. Now, he's only scored 2 so far this year, 2 in 4 games, which by a lot of team standards is a great return. By Harry Kane's standards is pretty low. I think there's something about Harry Kane that when he's in a slump because of his ability and his talent, he still continues to perform to an extent. It's just not to the extent you would expect out of him. And I think this game exemplified... Do you remember what his
injury was?
Is it a hip injury?
I don't remember. I don't remember. That's what I'm just asking.
I don't remember. I do not.
I'm just curious if it's maybe one of those things that kind of has a longer kind of effect on him.
Let's see here. Harry Kane.
But it's also kind of something I wondered about Ozil, too, is that there's been some rumor. I know a lot of times that a back injury is code for I just don't want to play. But, you know, a longstanding back issue for Ozil would explain a lot of the reasons why maybe he doesn't push it because he doesn't want to get injured.
It was an ankle injury.
Okay.
So...
But second coming of Jack Wilshere.
Well, except it was one injury. Jack Wilshere's had like 6 injuries in this period of time.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Starts with one injury. I mean, that's what happened with Diaby.
Most players
his ankle too, and it was like once he tried to come back from the ankle injury, it was like he was compensating for it, and then he hurt something else. And so it was just kind of like,
Well, Kane doesn't look to be compensating unless you're talking about like not... I don't know. So here's the thing. I'm watching Kane in this game, right? And this is true of the season so far. Oftentimes when Kane was one-on-one with like 2 or 3 defenders, he could hold the ball up for a bit, let some of his team get in, and then he normally would spray out a good pass to somebody. Yes, it doesn't always work that way, but as a general rule, he was pretty good about that. I'm watching Kane trying to beat 2 or 3 guys now rather than playing hold up and losing the ball over.
That could
and
be
over.
A tactical change, though.
Well, it could be. But it's not working. Because one of the things he's giving the ball right back to the other team rather than getting the rest of his team involved in. Because I remember specifically, like,
but why would he do that?
Vividly, one particular play where he had 2 of the Watford defenders on him, and he was, I think, up the left wing, if I remember right. And he tried to cut back in between the 2 of them, and they just didn't let him through. So the ball went through, but he couldn't. And he fell over, no foul, because they didn't do anything to him, and took the ball and I'm just watching Kane play, you know, okay, once again, when you're watching Cristiano Ronaldo play for Juventus and everybody's like, when is he going to score a goal?
It's been three games for crying out
loud. It's been three games and he's got, I think, two assists and he's looked good, right? But everybody's like, he's not playing like himself. That's kind of what's happening with Kane here. Is he still
performing? But he scored two goals in four.
Right. He's still performing, but it's a slump by a Harry Kane standard.
Spurs fans, you're just never happy.
That is totally what an Arsenal fan is. Never happy.
Just be thankful for what you have.
Yeah. So, tactically from this game. Thank you. Okay. Tactically from this game. So, as I mentioned last week, the one tactical thing that I'm learning is that Spurs are really good at morphing their tactics, right?
Mm.
It's less a tactical pickup and more just a general pickup of tactics. So this game, they did a morph late in the game. They brought on Llorente, which that's a whole nother story, but they brought in Llorente for Alderweireld. They were playing a back three and they switched to a back four.
I was curious that they were playing that back three.
Yeah. So they had Alderweireld, Sanchez, and Vertonghen playing back three, and then they had the wing backs, which historically works pretty good for us. So I thought that tactical shift made us better. The problem is it? I don't remember the exact time, but it happened so late.
I wouldn't start a back three against Watford for crying out loud.
Well, the way our wing backs attack, it's not like having five defenders.
But I wouldn't play it against Watford. It's almost like it's a waste of a man.
I don't know. I could see it working, but it obviously wasn't. That's kind of the point. And I feel like Poch waited too long because we looked a lot better after that change. Llorente didn't look better. He actually had a couple opportunities where he had one where he. It was a little bit of a stretch. I can give it to him missing it, but he just doesn't perform. So when that happens, I kind of just get down on him anyhow. The ball's going by, and all he had to do is kind of toe poke it towards goal, and he missed. He just missed the ball.
I mean, Spurs have a long history of doing this to Spanish strikers, though.
Well, Soldado. Who else?
Soldado.
Long history. Long history since we sold Gareth Bale.
Well, I guess Vincent Janssen, who's not Spanish.
Yeah, he's
You have a number of strikers that just do poorly.
Yeah. So our problem is before Kane, it was always the sporadic Adebayor. Like, I mean, not always, but in that period of time, Defoe was kind of on the down, and it was up to Adebayor if he felt like playing or not.
Yeah. Those were the good old days.
And then we could never get another striker that was any good. They all flopped. And then Kane came out of nowhere from our academy. Tim Sherwood claims it. And he did give him the start. So in that regard, you can give him credit, but that's about all the credit.
I argue that our lives are less complete because Tim Sherwood is not managing in the EPL. Like, someone give that man a job.
You know who I think was it Ian Holloway, the old Blackpool manager? I mean, he's managing in the Championship now. But he gave the best press conferences ever.
Was he the one that was bald?
The bald guy. Yeah, he was like off his rocker a little bit, but also like kind of on point, but hilarious. Anyhow, yeah. So yeah, the tactical change was too late. My key takeaway, and then I'll let you. I don't think you watched the game either. I think we both highlighted each other's games, but
no shock.
My key takeaway is this: we whomped on Manchester United last week, and I think that. We kind of took for granted that we'd probably just beat Watford. I feel like a lot of the players just didn't look. We started off brightly, and then we actually dominated much of the first half, but not with intensity, not with the typical Spurs intensity I'm used to seeing. And and then once Deeney pulled back that first goal, Watford was up for it, and they were taking us. On and on and on until the second goal, in which case they went more defensive to defend their lead.
Yeah.
And of course, once they do
that, they're very hard to break down at that point.
So I think that Spurs need to have kind of a wake up call from this. That's kind of my takeaway, is that we shouldn't take any team for granted.
I mean, to their credit though, I mean, Watford are very difficult to beat at home.
Well, they're undefeated.
Plenty
so
of attacking
far.
Talent. I mean, I wouldn't actually even count Troy Deeney as attacking talent. I mean, he's not, he's physical.
Fat Drake.
Oh, that's right.
It's a Men in Blazers.
Well, it's kind of like Drake. Isn't Drake already fat? So it's like even fatter.
Yeah.
Drake.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I don't have any room to call people fat, to be honest. But.
I don't either. It's like if you met him on a dark alley, he'd probably just beat the two of us senseless. But yeah, I mean, I think Watford are probably better than people give him credit. Better than I give him credit, right? I think they beat us last year at home. Of course, I think we, you know, as you. I said something and you told me it was racist,
and I'm not racist, so I had to. I think I said womp. I put an M in there just to be safe.
Womp.
I probably created that a word be, just because I didn't want to.
That's an wanna... even worse phrase.
If I have offended anybody, it is totally unintentional. I thought I was making up a word.
So... Urban Dictionary, womped. The act of being so drunk that one blacks out and throws up everywhere.
That sounds about right. Spurs womped on United.
Well, in light of Larissa's last week, yeah. So actually, that was my question. Why did Vorm start instead of Larissa?
I have no idea.
Did Potts just now find out that he was
because of the amount of time it took for me to buy my NBC Sports Gold subscription and then log into the Apple TV app?
You didn't have any.
I didn't get to the game until a minute and a half in, so I didn't get any of the pre. So we'll probably.
So how does that work with Gold? More. Do they, you know, for like the games that come on at 4:30? Do they just like hold all the games and you just go watch them whenever you want?
Yeah, it's kind of like pre-DVR'd. Okay. Like, I mean, and you can watch them live or watch replays. But you have to buy it. So unlike, like, say, YouTube TV or like any of the, you know how when you have a YouTube TV subscription or in your case, PlayStation View, you can log into all these apps for the individual networks and watch their stuff. NBC Sports Gold has like 6 different packages. So if you're into horse racing, which I could care less about, it's like $70. If you want to watch Premier League, it's like $50. Yeah. So by the time you're done, if you wanted everything, you could spend, I think it's like $300 for everything.
That's crazy.
I don't care about anything but football. So,
but I wonder how many subscribers they have to horse racing.
I'm sure there's enough people out there, especially if you're a betting type of person, you probably watch them and you're off. Like after you lost all your money, you just watch them on TV and cry. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's big over in England.
It was big with people I know, you know.
It's not very big with anybody I know. I guess
their parents, you know, it'd be kind of like horse racing, betting on horses was kind of a thing. I never understood it because it's kind of like.
I feel like it's a better thing than buying lottery tickets. I mean, you at least can do some research and there's an element of skill other than just like, hey,
you're like staring at the horse's rear saying, yes, strong haunches on this one. Let's.
Oh, that one was crappy while I was looking at it. A couple of
shilling on this young filly.
Oh, that's a little jockey there. It's going to go fast. Yeah, that shows how... That's the extent of anything I know about horse racing, and that probably shows
now,
how
little Now, that would actually make a really interesting podcast or video would be us learning to do horse racing. And then we could find, like, not little horses, but, like, smaller horses that when we get our fat rears up on these horses, it would be like... You know what I mean?
We can get those little miniature ponies and ride them around side by side, wearing our Spurs and Arsenal jerseys. We're not really
jockey material.
Oh, man. No, we are very... I'm further, but we're both very far from jockey.
See, I don't know.
We're both tallish. Like, jockeys have to be very small. They have to be little men.
Do you hear that, Destiny?
Skinny, I'm little men.
Destiny is
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9¾". Thank you very much.
You're not as tall as I... would imagine.
But Destiny's always like, oh, you're like 5'7", right? She has this thing where she just keeps, and it's like, she's 4'11", for crying out loud.
Yeah, my wife's 5'1", and I'm almost 6'3". So, I have back problems. I think it's just because my wife's so small. I'm always like leaning over to hug her or hold her hand.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so any thoughts or ideas for you on the Spurs game? Anything you want to add to my
My key analysis? Takeaway was that they lost, and that's great.
Yeah. We're still 3 points on you.
You get 9 points?
Yeah. Yeah, we have 3 wins and a loss.
But you guys play Manchester United next.
Yeah.
Or no, Liverpool next.
We play Liverpool next, yeah.
So,
we played United previously.
And then we played Newcastle next, so we...
I think you're going to have a hard time against Newcastle than you think. I think
you guys are going to join us down in the mid-table.
We'll get to that in our predictions.
You're slumming it down the mid-table with us.
Hey, we're at 53 minutes. We need to move. We have talked a lot here, so let's...
I don't even know what we talked about, honestly.
So there's not a whole lot to talk about with the fantasy, so I'll just...
I have these fears that when we go back to listen to the podcast, there's like these long stretches where like we lose our minds and we're like...
Or we say words like shan't.
Yeah.
So quick fantasy update. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this because it sucks. Sons of Pitches.
Because we're not winning.
Sons of Pitches, the only other person in our league, is destroying us still.
I
just got a record low 23 points where the week average was 44 to show how great I am. My best player was Deanie, who I meant to remove since they were playing Spurs and I forgot. Oh,
that's great.
Kane got 4 points, but he was my captain, so he really only got 2 points, and that's about it. TJ got TJ actually had a decent one. You had what, 41 points?
Yeah, I don't understand why I don't have more points, because I had Aubameyang and Shirley. They both scored. Azpilicueta
and De Gea.
Wait, did Chelsea have a clean sheet? I thought they did.
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't. De Gea kept a clean sheet.
Yeah, like, that ought to be worth something. This is the first week De Gea gave you anything. Like, yeah. The previous weeks had been kind of a bust.
I don't know what I was thinking there, honestly.
So, yeah, and if you want to join and play with us, we're so bad. Like literally, I got 23 where the average is 44. You'll catch us pretty quick.
You shall beat us.
You shall, yes. I shan't beat you. Go to fantasy.premierleague.com, enter the code 129-2965-294-429. I'm not repeating that. It'll be in the notes.
It cracks me up every time that you actually read them.
I don't know why I do
it. As if people are sitting there on bated breath with a pencil, like,
what is he going to say?
And they're writing it out, well, and then the pencil breaks, so they're like, no!
It's a recording. They can pause and rewind.
Exactly. Or yeah. They could just Google it. I mean, how hard is that? They go into Premier League.
I feel like if
Google
we don't
it.
Kind of add more, then they don't do it. I mean, they're not doing it anyhow, so I'm trying to give them every
excuse.
Well,
you've been given the number every single week, so let's try next time not giving the number.
I'm
going to
give them
a
wrong number and see what leads.
I'm willing to do anything at this point. I mean, what is wrong with people?
We joined the Chinese Super League. What number are you giving out? Okay. All right, so some general points. We're going to have to move fast, but Tottenham has another new signing. Even after the transfer window's closed, we've landed another player, right? So just to name off the players that we've signed so far, or haven't signed but kept, Alderweireld, hopefully we get a new contract in there, but who knows. Moussa Dembele is still with us, although he's rumored to be leaving again at the end of the year. And Danny Rose is still with us, and
you guys really
he may
are
stay
the new
with
Arsenal.
Us.
This is like Arsenal territory. It's like
now
he's like a whole new signing.
Our new signing is Son. The Koreans, the South Koreans, won.
The Korean Ronaldo?
The Korean. I mean, as far as Korea is concerned, yes, the Korean Ronaldo. Kind of like Clint Dempsey is the American Ronaldo. But the South Koreans won the, what was it, the Asian Games? Or what do they call it? The Asian Cup?
It's the Asian Games. So I thought it was the Asian Cup, but it's not the Asian Cup. It's the Asian Games.
Okay.
Which is like the Asian version of the Olympics or something. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Oh,
anyway,
so it's more than just football. It's other sports, too?
I don't know that for a fact. I don't even really know what I'm talking about. What I do know is it's not as
you could tell me anything and I'd be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
It's not as valued as the Asian Cup, which is the equivalent of like the European Championships, I believe. So in other words,
oh, the Asian,
it's all under 23s.
Asian Cup is like the Champions League or the CONCACAF.
Like African Cup of Nations or
yeah, that's what
Copa
that is.
America or European.
That's what all that is, because the Champions League is Europe's.
Champions League is clubs, though, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You're as bad as my wife.
Cup of, no, what's the European one? The Super... No. World War... No. Anyhow,
that's
whatever.
The other day. She's like, oh.
It's too many freaking cups.
She's like, oh, who's the home team? And I tell her who the home team is. And she's like, oh, who's the guest team? I'm
the
like,
guest? Oh,
the welcome to our stadium, our welcomed guests.
Another MLS reference really quick. We're watching I had some MLS game on, and the Philadelphia Union are playing. And you know how when you're watching the game, they abbreviate the two teams' names? Like, West Ham would be WHU, and, Tottenham would be TOT. So we're watching this game, and it's PHI. And my son's like, look, the LA Galaxy are playing the Philistines. I got a kick out of that.
To be fair, he probably just got out of Sunday school. So.
Oh, probably, because, it's a weekend. But so, yeah, Sun is exempt. They won. The entire team is
so
exempt
Sun
from
gets to pull a Trump
from
and
their
not go
military,
join the military
service. Well, legally, though. Well, Trump didn't. Yeah,
I'm not saying Trump did it illegally.
Who was it? It was Clinton that was the Dodger, right? Was it Bill Clinton, the draft Dodger? President Clinton? All right, anyhow, moving on from that. TJ, you go on this next one because I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to say this either, but...
Carabag?
Arsenal have a Carabag problem.
Is that how you pronounce that, Carabag?
So apparently we're playing against...
I don't even know what a Carabag is.
So apparently Carabag is a team from Azerbaijan. This is who we play against now. We play against teams like teams from Azerbaijan.
See, Spurs fans are familiar with these weird names. I mean, didn't you guys play Oostersunds or something last year? I think we have a whole podcast.
What was the one that...
Oostersunds. It had like with the two dots
one that
above
was
it.
Worse than that. There was...
Well, there's like a Ludogorets and a...
Was it Ludogorets? There's the one that Gozal gets the hat trick. Of course, that might be in the Champions League. I don't remember.
And yeah.
It's just a small world now with all the planes flying and stuff. It's just like you get to play all these crazy teams. Anyway,
modern era of planes flying.
I know,
places.
It's just insane. So,
can't
so
wait
the
for the
thing about this
transporters.
Is us playing a team from Azerbaijan, and the Europa League final is in Baku, which is the capital of Azerbaijan. You guys, when you were listening to this podcast, didn't know you were going to get like this whole
geography
like,
lessons,
travel show thrown in there.
We're, you know.
Anyway,
we're here to teach.
So, sharing our wisdom.
We don't know what a Karabag is, but we're here to let you know that
right.
It's in Azerbaijan.
So,
wherever that is.
So we have to play Karabag, which is an Azerbaijanian? Azerbaijanian?
Does that make you an Azerbaijanite?
Azerbaijani. Anyway, and the final is in Azerbaijan. And the problem is, Mkhitaryan is from Armenia. And apparently Armenia and Azerbaijan hate each other, and they've been fighting this war for like 100 years.
Oh.
And he can't get a visa to go to Azerbaijan. So we're going to be without Mkhitaryan. So it's like last year we couldn't have Aubameyang. This year we can't have Mkhitaryan. It's like, when will these guys ever get to play together? It's ridiculous.
Well, the good news is, because he plays for Arsenal, there won't be a huge quality drop anywhere. I mean, it's all pretty
bad. We probably
won't
even make it to the final.
We'll
probably get knocked out in the quarterfinals by Atletico when they get dropped down from the Champions League.
By Atletico?
I just want to say again, I hate that. I think that's the... And the teams that are in the Champions League that are unlucky enough to drop into the Europa League, they hate it too. They don't want to play in the Europa League.
Can I just throw a thought out here? You hate that, but you're an Arsenal fan and you believe you belong in the Champions League. So you hate that a Champions League team comes down and whoops your butt.
Yeah.
And wins it.
Like, leave the little people for us to beat.
But you're one of the little people.
We are not one of the little people, Dan. We are Arsenal Football Club.
Oh, I should stop laughing. This year we might be one of the little people if
yeah,
we
just you
lose
wait.
To Watford.
Just you wait when you're joining us in Burnley and mid-table. So yeah, it actually what it kind of reminds me a little bit, not that they're really related, other than the fact that we can't play with the guy, is when Bergkamp played for Arsenal back in the day, he would miss like more than half of the European games because he refused to fly.
Oh.
He had a fear of flying, so like he would literally
interesting.
He would literally drive to the games. So like he'd get on the channel,
did the channel exist back then?
Well yeah,
damn. Oh, Bergkamp's not that old.
The
Chunnel's
like,
my
I don't know, 30 years, 40 years. Chunnel's like been around since before I was born, I think.
It's
been around a long time.
I'm not educated. I just know it exists, which is kind of cool in and of itself.
So he'd rather drive a car underneath
the ocean,
underneath the sea, get to France, and then drive through France, through Germany, or wherever to get to games. That's how he'd get there. So I think, you know, Karabag, I read, is like 6,000 miles away. Bergkamp
wouldn't
be there. He'd have to leave now. I mean,
yeah.
Road trip to the next Europa League game. Anyway, that's kind of what it reminds me of.
So I'll make this section quick, and I already cut out one big piece because of my intro here, but I'm going to get American on us again. First thing, DeAndre Yedlin, former Spurs, former Sounders, Newcastle player, got his first Premier League goal against Manchester City.
He's never scored before?
Uh-uh. Well, he did. He got an own goal last week. But his first...
DeAndre Yedlin scores his second Premier League goal. That's two goals in two games, people.
That's right. But a really nice shot against City. And
yeah, it was a good goal.
And it drew it even.
It was like purely built on his pace, too. I mean, that was all his pace.
So just as an American, I have to give props to Yedlin and as a former Spurs player. One other thing, we haven't talked about this in the past. This is old news for anybody in the States, but this might be a name that Europeans become familiar with at some point because he's just ripping MLS apart with goals, is Josef Martinez. He's Venezuelan, and he just broke the goals in a single season record in MLS with like 9 games to go.
Most goals in a single season?
In a single season.
Wow.
He's
who does he play for?
He plays for Atlanta United, the expansion team. They're in year two now. Hmm. Last year he got injured, which is probably the only reason he didn't do it last year. He's been amazing. He scores. He's got a higher than one game a goal or one goal a game.
So there's a good chance he'll be playing in the championship next season.
Could be playing for bigger teams. There's been bigger teams
Bundesliga.
Going after him. The
Bundesliga.
The only argument that he may stay is because he's a big fish in a we're a big pond full of minnows though. He's a big fish in a small pond here. Whereas if he goes overseas,
seeing other fish.
Yeah. Anyhow, that said,
he's gonna go and sit in Byron's reserves.
I feel like since I've added, I shouldn't say we. You, I think I'm pulling you kicking and screaming in this, but I've added an American section here. I wanted to make sure and mention that since we didn't previously. So, and I also said that he scored the most foals in a single season. That must have been spell check.
He's from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that he would have gone through the VISO, the Venezuelan Young Soccer, whatever?
You're not gonna let that thing go, are you? At least he got his.
The only thing I have.
At least he got all of his goals, and not because of Dogzo. Your new favorite acronym.
Another one.
Yeah. Okay, we're running out of time, so let's wrap this up. Next week's games, Liverpool's at Spurs at Wembley, is Sunday, and that's actually the 15th, and it's Saturday the 15th. I didn't change that. Saturday the 15th, so we have an off week for international friendlies. Saturday the 15th, September, and it's at 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. My prediction is a 2-2 thriller.
I'm going to go with a 4-2 thriller to Liverpool.
I knew you would. I got to type that in here for next time. And then following that same day, but at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern, Arsenal is at St. James's Park playing Newcastle. What do you got on that
one? I'm going to go and play it safe and go with what our typical scoreline is, which is 3-2 to the Arsenal.
That's probably a good one. I actually have 2-1 to Newcastle.
I'm just glad I didn't pick Cech or any of the other Arsenal defenders for my fantasy league, or I'd be even worse off than I am now.
It's true. I actually think Newcastle has enough if they're not feeling... Newcastle hasn't had a good start, but they've played well. They just haven't been getting points.
Mm.
I mean, they took us 2-1. They did City 2-1.
I think, you know, they try real hard.
Well, I mean, if you look at the talent on paper of that team... They should be in the championship mid-table. Like, with the exception of with Yedlin and maybe Richie, maybe John Joe Shelby, maybe Hoselu. Like, the rest of the team...
Jose Perez, he's a good one.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have Solomon Rondon, played for West Brom last year.
Mm-hmm. Played for West Brom and went down to Newcastle. I don't know.
I guarantee you, Rondon is Jackson, whatever his name is. What is his name?
Joseph Martinez?
Joseph Martinez is hero, because he's from Venezuela, too.
Is Rondon from Venezuela?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Don't hold that to me, people. I mean, I don't really...
Should look that up before we claim that. That said, I think that Newcastle is very close to getting a result.
Venezuelan.
And I think that Arsenal could be their result. So, and I'm praying for that Arsenal to be their result, too.
The Arsenal would lose... Wait, what is their prediction?
To Newcastle. Lose to Newcastle.
But by what?
I've had 2-1.
2-1. That's probably a safe bet.
So Newcastle is not my second favorite team, but because Yedlin plays for them, they're sitting as my second favorite team right now.
2-1 to Newcastle against Arsenal with Yedlin getting a brace, picking up his third and fourth goal of the season.
No, I'm not going to make that claim, although if that happens, I'm all for it.
I'm quitting the podcast. We're not doing this anymore.
He may pick up his third goal being Arsenal's one in that result, though.
There you go.
Yeah, you know?
Maybe.
No, as an American, I'm proud. I think Yedlin is looking good.
It is
going to
be kind
good.
Of a battle of the French or the Spanish waiters. Emery kind of looks like a Spanish waiter, and Benitez has been known as fat Spanish waiter.
I don't know about that, but yeah. So
there are so many Spanish or Spanish speaking coaches in the EPL.
So we need to wrap this up. We are almost a minute 10 now, so we're getting there.
No one's listening after the first minute. Anyway.
That's right. But I did, before we wrap this up, I did want to make one reference here. I sent you this screenshot because I really wanted Spurs to win another game. And so I went on and I was playing career mode with Spurs, although I did buy Anthony Martial, Zaha, and who was the other guy I bought? Oh, Christian Pulisic. Yeah, of course, American. But I totally, I'm not going to say that word again because I don't want to be racist. I totally beat down Atletico Madrid.
You womped on them?
8-1.
Does that mean you like threw up on them in a drunken manner?
I did. I threw up on them in a drunken manner.
You didn't sign Joseph Martinez?
No.
Hmm.
Actually, I couldn't. I tried. I wanted to for fun. I couldn't because in the career mode, they said you shan't. We just got him. You shan't have him.
I hate when they do that. It's like, you know, if I offered you enough money, you'd let him go.
Yeah, I think any team would if there was enough.
It's ridiculous.
Anyhow, so I'll post the screenshot in case anybody really cares of an 8-1 drubbing where Kane got a hat trick with a 10 rating.
Are we still talking about FIFA?
Atletico.
Before we forget, Brandon, here's your gold star.
Yep. Anybody else who's listening, you can have a
no one else is listening.
Something else more amazing than that, even.
Really?
I feel like we should downgrade Brandon's stars because they just happen. So we can give him a copper star.
He has to listen through a lot of crap to get that gold star.
I think he likes listening through the crap.
See, that's the thing. He really likes getting crap thrown at him.
He said you were mean to me last week.
He gets a lot of crap
week.
Thrown at him. He does a lot of shoveling of crap. He's kind of a whipping boy.
He thought you were mean to me last week.
He did.
I went home crying.
I'm mean to you most weeks,
though. I went home crying.
That's why I was kind of like, what are you talking about? I'm mean to Dan every week.
Yeah.
Every podcast needs to have a jerk, and I'm that jerk.
Yeah, but the fun thing is it's not an act. We're not putting on an act.
Well,
on
when
mics.
I listened to it before, when I listened to it after, like, you all listened to it, I realized why it seemed that way. It was because when the audio cut out,
you said
it was
that,
when I was making fun of your business.
But you know what? It cut out. You think of that, but then I was thinking about this. It cut out the comment you made about if anybody you would like to hire Dan. You can hire him and he'll charge you for 3 hours and give you 20 minutes of work. Or
did I say that?
Because I was talking about how I was watching the game and I did a project that should have taken 20 minutes. And then you made that comment and that got cut out. So you were actually meaner.
So
we cut out most of the mean stuff.
Well, that's the thing is it just sounded like I was being really mean and crapping all over your business. And then
you were.
And then it died mysteriously and then picked right back up after all of that. And so Brandon's thinking, oh, Dan got like real butthurt.
Dan started crying and
stop making fun of Logo Yeller and
Logo Yeller.
And, you know,
all
just
right.
Talk about Sacker.
Let's wrap this up. We're at a minute 10 now.
I thought we were at a minute 10 earlier.
Almost a minute 10. Now we're past it a little bit. So, and then we're going to add the podcast. Intro and stuff. So it's going to be even longer. Minute, hour. Yeah. You're the one who always says a minute something.
I was waiting for you to catch it.
All right. Well, if you're still listening, thanks for listening and subscribe.
Thanks. Sacker. Dagzo.
Yeah. Dogzo. Bye.